Yeah, Luis, sorry it didn't work out. We did what we discussed in the morning. We took a risk. It didn't work out. But let's discuss between us and in the office.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 955, September 5th, 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say another Dutch treat and sand in the Vaseline for Scuderia. Alpine fiasco is over, Oscar going to McLaren. Nando and LCH singing the same tune, I'm sorry, so sorry. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, first, bon anniversaire, maman. I love you. LCH has his own crazy emotional outburst. Should Ferrari ask Ross Braun for some tips? Jacques Villeneuve remembers 1997. And there was a lot of racing this weekend, so MM will rock your world. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. And today we have greetings coming all the way from Frederick, Maryland. I am here for the Labor Day weekend. How are things for Mr. Rogers on the left coast?
The left coast is burning hot. We're going into this weird, terrible heat wave in the entire west coast, predicting 112 in some location. So we're suffering, Nasser, but luckily we have F1 Weekly mineral water to keep us refreshed and invigorated.
Yes, sir. And on top of that, we have Max. He has now become the new Sir Win-a-Lot with his 2022 smash hit. I like big wins. Four in a row, number 10 of the season and 30 of his career. I think rest of the season will continue to be spanky for the Scuderia. If you look at the overall picture, Mercedes playing hot and cold. Alpine with Machismo, McLaren with Lando, still no threat to the kingdom of Maximilian. His papito, Jos the boss, could not attend the homecoming on Friday and Saturday due to COVID. Racing fans always enjoy his slings and arrows towards Toto and LCH. Before we do a quickie on Collie, can we get a little snapshot from you on Sunday's festivities, please?
So exciting. I woke up at 4 in the morning getting ready for this and to stay cool because of this miserable heat wave. But boy, great qualifying, great race, lots of the usual. What is up with Ferrari? I think the problem is Binotto needs to watch the whole season encapsulated with their pit stops and strategies, because he seems to be completely unaware that there's an issue and continues this, we are just fine. So I'm not sure, but I feel terrible for the Ferrari drivers dealing with the laissez-faire attitude. But no, great Grand Prix, great race, and it was the whole weekend. Sunday, I mean, we had MotoGP, we had Le NASCAR, we had Le IndyCar with Grosjean, who likes to take long drives in the dirt. It was out of control, Nasser.
Yes, sir, and speaking of Colli, Max on pole, surprise, surprise. Two red cars and then LCH. This time, only 0.3 second behind pole sitter, and not 1.8 second last time out at Spa. But surprisingly, LCH was half a second faster than his whippersnapper and happy chappy teammate Georgie, who was on row 3 with Checo in 5th. And Checo was 0.7 seconds slower than his teammate. This is why Red Bull will always have a Willie Horton style revolving door for the second seat. Now, Mr. Rogers, there's a lot of talk of Colin Herta almost in Formula One pending issuance of super license. But can you imagine Colton Herta or Pato Ward landing the second seat at Red Bull? I say, Lord have mercy and some smooth Percy Faith music for these youths, like Theme from Summer Place. I'm guessing one of your favorites.
Indeed it is.
Mick Schumacher doing well under pressure and qualified 8th, followed by potty mouth Yuki Tsunoda. Hardest working man in Formula 1, Lance Stroll was 10th on the grid, driving for Scuderia Papa. Did this pole surprise for you, for the local boy, sir?
No, not at all. I mean, come on. But no surprise.
Yes, the big question for the weekend for me is, what can Mercedes do to win a race and what Ferrari can do not to win a race? You know, 3 more wins and Max will match record number of wins in a season, which is currently 13 by both Michael Schumacher and his other Deutschen Wunderkind Sebastian Vettel. So I am looking forward to a new track record of 14 wins in a season. Could be even more the way things are going. Now, let me ask you a question. As big of a fan you are of Lewis Hamilton, on the opening lap, LCH almost had another spa moment. Did you enjoy that, sir?
I did enjoy that. I thought about it. It was exciting, and I was thinking, boy, man, come on, Lewis. Dig deep down. It was tight. It could have been a signal of early retirement, and I'm talking career, if he had mess with science and that they touched and he was out of the race. A whole scenario just flashed before my eyes. But no, everything was cool and the karma was definitely bad on science and LCH, I suppose. I don't know what's going on. There's so much karma. It's all thanks to Julian Palmer. Joylan Palmer?
Well, you know, as they say in racing, you're as good as your last race. And I have to agree with you. 2 DNFs. On the opening lap would not have gone down very well with powers that be in Stuttgart. And if you have the best car on the grid, you know, head and shoulders above everything else, then most drivers can win races and quite a few can win championships after championships. So Lewis Hamilton, age, competition from young whippersnappers is now in a situation where he cannot afford to be Yuki Tsunoda on a regular basis. You know, we all have bad hair days and say things we regret, but he needs to be, I think he's smart enough to be careful and not go on a rant like this, which was not very good.
Why did you stop George?
Don't know this, I'll let you know.
That was a mistake. Yeah, track position. We had a buffer between us, so now we don't have that.
Sir, what I enjoyed, I mean, not enjoyed, but as Nico Rosberg said, the whole world was expecting. Lap 14, another spaghetti show as Carlito spends 12 seconds for a tire change. But there were no issues for Charles Leclerc, lap 18. Now, you were speaking to Binotto. Did this screw up surprise you?
You know, it doesn't surprise you because now you expect it. The problem is hiring Laurel and Hardy for your pit crew is not a really good idea. He would have had a better pit stop if he pulled into Big O tires on their Labor Day sale. It's ridiculous. I have no idea what's going on. I'm serious. I mean, I think somebody has spiked the marinara sauce.
No, I agree with you. They have the Laurel and Hardy show. And back in the day, they had Ross Brawn and Rob Smedley. And you know, funny you say that they need to ask Brawn for some tips. I was thinking a couple of days ago, maybe they need to bring in Rob Smedley and put some discipline in the way things are going. And what is really amazing, Binotto is hanging on to, they're not going to make any changes. But more on that a little bit later. Lap 19, Max in, leader, Lewis, Carl Hamilton, Russell behind him, Mercedes 1-2, shades of yesterday. But it was obvious to me that this was not going to last too long. Max comes out in third, and it was just a matter of time and some laps before he was back on top. under normal circumstances. Lap 29, Lewis in for hard tires, meaning one stopper for him, and Max in the lead. So question for you, Mr. Rogers. When LCH was first and George second, did you have any glimmer of hope for a silver streak winning at Zandvoort?
Well, for a moment I said, you know what, this could be LCH's first win of the season. Not only that, but to do it at Max's home race at Zandvoort in front of those orange fans would have been a big coup. And I thought about it for a few minutes, and then I go, you know, as long as Latifi is in the race, we're going to have some kind of kablamo or accident or safety car. So with Latifi, you never know.
That's what my thought was, especially when, you know, Max changed tires, and then he was not able to post expected faster time than Lewis. He was pretty much matching Lewis's time. So I thought, if Max has to stop again, some cars are in between him and Lewis, and, you know, it's a short track, maybe Lewis can get one. Possibility was there, but like you said, we have Latifi. He's done damage before, not too long ago. And then this was hilarious. Lap 45, we were entertained to what I call Kabuki theatrics from Yuki Tsunoda, stopping his car and undoing his seat belts. That's very impressive on a Formula One track during a race going on. According to the team, there were no issues, so he was told to pit, which he did. And after the seat belts were put back on and tires changed, he went out, only to be told, stop, stop, stop. Team has found an issue, and then came the safety car. When the safety car came out, I just knew the Toto LCH party is over, no matter what happens, because they let the cars in between disappear. And we've seen this movie before a few months earlier. But Mr. Rogers, in this day and age of instant communication, karma, social media, conspiracy theories are flying every which way. Whether this was AlphaTauri's Singapore cracker or a genuine issue, I can only say innocent till proven guilty. But then, lap 55, Bottas breaks down. The pundits, including Rico Rosberg, are suggesting that Mercedes should have put Russell as wingman between Lewis and Max. This would have given LCH some room and time to pull ahead of Max with not too many laps remaining. Max on softer tires than LCH. Where have we seen this movie before? Do you agree with Nico Rosberg?
Nico Rosberg was a little brutal. I don't know. I'm not, to be honest with you, I didn't completely agree with Nico Rosberg, but he certainly insulted Binotto enough.
Yes, he may be banned from Scuderia Ferrari like JV was from Williams. But you know, my take on this race, strictly for this race, is this. They say Red Bull gives you wings. Problem is, Max came to the team with his own turbojets of talent, which people who are driving competitive cars are finding very hard to beat. So if you are not in a car that is competitive against the Red Bull, then Max will make sure you have minimum chance of winning, whether it's a 10-lap sprint to the finish or late race splash and dash. Checo was right when he said after Spa, Max is on a different planet. His championship lead, with 7 races to go, is now 109 points over Leclerc. As much as I would like to see car number 44 in the, still just a personal opinion, very capable hands of Lewis Hamilton win a Grand Prix this year, I don't think he was going to do a James Hunt of 1975 or a Niki Lauda of 1985 at Zandvoort on Sunday. Safety car or no safety car. Now finally, before the race, Leclerc was quoted as saying on the telly interview that mathematically it's possible, so I still have a chance. But even he is now, after the race, saying basically arrivederci to the championship. You have to agree with him.
I do agree with him. It's over. We're just waiting for the fat lady to come out of the shower and get dressed. But yeah, I mean, total domination across the entire F1 nation.
Well, that's news to me. Fat lady takes a shower, but, you know, good for her. George Russell came in second. Change to soft tires late in the race helped him leapfrog LCH. Second in that car is very impressive, but he was never going to be a threat to Max. Russell has 6 podiums so far this season, and if my eyesight is not deceiving me, this was his first second place finish in 2022. Aforementioned Charles Leclerc started from front row and finished third. This is his second podium in the last 10 races. A very sad scenario for someone who won 2 of the first 3 races. The expected regime change after the first 3 races is now a long pipe dream on the Dutch dykes. At least he got ahead of Checo in the championship, even though they are on same points, 201. But Leclerc is ahead on what they call countback because he has more wins. So at least there was some positive for Charles Leclerc and Scuderia this weekend. Our man Hamilton, he had a sniff of victory and smell of yesterday. But Max on softer tires sailed away at the final restart. Adding insult to injury was teammate Russell passing him, turning Hamilton into Tsunoda of the day.
I can't believe you guys are screaming right now. I can't tell you, I'm pissed.
Copy this, we'll chat off. Yeah, I know, I can't.
There's everyone on soft tires.
Just those around us. Okay, sorry about that, Lewis. Yeah, it was looking good, but yeah, we'll sit down and review decisions that we made there.
Yeah, Louis, sorry it didn't work out. We did what we discussed in the morning. We took a risk. It didn't work out. But let's discuss between us and in the office.
He was potty mouth, and on the cool-down lap... Oh, this was very funny. On the cool-down lap, he was very lovey-dovey, especially after Toto told him we will talk in private in office. I say when there is a come-to-Toto or Binotto message... the driver can expect some serious turbulence off the track. Do you think that Toto laid down the law, read the right tag to Lewis in the office?
We gambled high. We took a risk. And that's how we discussed it in the morning. And it really went bad for Lewis. Every day of the week, before settling for second and third, I take the risk to win.
Well, after Lewis had a Fernando moment, let's just say... And it would have been funny. See, Lewis had a really big opportunity when Russell passed him and Max passed him. He could have, and I was hoping he would, being funny to Fernando because, you know, they apologized. He gave him a hat. But he could have said, GP2, GP2 engine, ah! But he didn't, and he went off on a tangent. And I have some of this. We'll put it in the podcast. We'll pepper the podcast with some of LCH's comments. But very fascinating. All these drivers, they can get pretty excited on the radio.
Yes. The Mercedes Zero Sidepod concept has delivered zero results as per their lofty standards. Let's hope they can provide their drivers a more competitive package so they can go and hunt for Red Bull next season. The prancing horse is running out of steam on their own pace. LCH is now sixth in the championship with 158 points. 30 less than his teammate. Now we come to Sergio Perez. He was fifth. While his teammate set the fastest lap, Checo's fastest lap in the race was only fifth fastest and over 0.7 second of Max's pace. The difference in their quali pace was pretty much the same. The heat of a Guadalajara jalapeno is on for Checo from his teammate, which really is not a surprise. Now, all rise as Fernando Alonso was sixth. Since his home Grand Prix, Machismo has scored points in every race. That's 10 races in a row. Something Lawrence Stroll will appreciate very much next season. Machismo from Oviedo still brings home the bacon and a hearty serving of petulance pudding, which has been deeply enjoyed by Ron Dennis, Otmar Szafnauer, Lewis at the previous race, and of course the entire crew at Honda F1 Engine Development in Sakura, Japan. Arigato muchachas. Lando Norris for 7th. He was chasing Machismo late in the race but ran out of laps. Just like Sergio at Sepang some years ago. Carlito Carlos Sainz Jr. was 8th on the track and had the Eddie Irvine experience. Came into the pits and the prancing horse was out on the farm looking for a Pirelli, prompting him to say, oh my god, Sainz Jr. is fifth in the championship with 175 points. You know, I just wonder how Carlito and Charles Leclerc are feeling that we are with the most magical motor racing team in the world. And we have a beautiful car and a fast car, which for the most part is very reliable too. But boy, the issues and petty things that are happening there are hard to believe. You know, Mr. Rogers, you have interest in aviation. Back in the day, Pan American Airlines used to have a slogan saying, "You can't beat the experience." Ferrari is certainly doing that. Hard to believe the only team in Formula One since 1950 is getting whipped on a regular basis by an Austrian bull. And it doesn't look like things will improve much rest of the season. What say you?
Well, apparently they're satisfied. I mean, if Montezemolo, I mean, I can't imagine what he's thinking right now watching this. I mean, he must have broken so many televisions that they've now made one out of cement bricks. It's baffling. It's sad because you remember when they were successful and they can do really great things, but they got to have the right crew. And right now, Binotto is not the man. And I don't know what's going on over there. Maybe there's a shortage of capable men in Ferrari. Let's put a woman in there. That woman who's the strategist at Red Bull, that's who they should hire.
Yes, sir. Okay, moving on. Esteban Ocon's ninth place finish put both Alpines in the points. He may soon have fellow Francais and ex-BFF as new teammate for next season. Lance Stroll, my boy Lollipop, drove the only Aston Martin in the points, as Seb was 14th at the finish. Any final comments on the racer and the performance of Max? And before we go into the point situation for drivers and constructors?
We're going to Monza. I mean, more excitement. Mercedes could pick it up a notch. And of course, we're in Italy. I would think that Ferrari, guns blazing, and leave the tiddlywinks at the office.
I think they will have guns blazing, but they'll be shooting themselves. I just have this feeling. Okay, sir, the Drivers' Championship leading the way, surprise, Max Verstappen with 310 points. Leclerc and Perez are joint second, but Leclerc has more wins, so he's second technically. They both have 201 points. Russell is fourth with 188. Sainz Jr. 5th, 175, and Lewis Hamilton 6th, 158. In the Constructors' Championship, Red Bull 511 points, Ferrari 2nd, 376, Mercedes 3rd, 346, Alpine 125 in 4th, and 5th, completing top 5, McLaren 101 points. Now listen to this. Of those 101 points, Lando Norris has scored 82 of those points because Daniel Ricciardo had another dingo day afternoon on the Dutch beach. I very much hope he lands a drive with another team. Otherwise, he will be catching frisbees with Dale Earnhardt Jr. at the Daytona Beach. Do you think he will survive? And another guy under pressure is Mick Schumacher. What is your take on their 2023 situation?
I say Herta is in, Ricciardo is out. I think Mick is in. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be very interesting to have an American on the grid in AlphaTauri. And AlphaTauri can be competitive sometimes. The Ferrari motor is a good package with an excited young driver. Make top five, that would be exciting. So there's a lot to look forward to. I can't wait for Monza because Monza rocks the nation.
Yes, you know, speaking of Colton Herta, if he gets the seat, he will be teammate most likely to Yuki Tsunoda, and Yuki Tsunoda is no young Max or no young Sebastian Vettel, and just his inconsistencies should help Colton Herta be the top dog at Toro Rosso. But one thing I will tell you about Yuki Tsunoda, the kid is very quick. He just needs to get a little serious about his racing career. But he is very quick. And I don't know this because he was very quick, won races and pole position in his first year in Formula 2 which was won by Mick Schumacher in his second year, and in 2 years in Formula 2, Mick Schumacher did not have a single pole position. I think that Mick will end up in Williams, which will be good for that team. But if Pierre Gasly goes to Alpine, then I think it really makes no sense for Ricciardo to go and drive for Haas. I don't know what he will gain by doing that, to each his own. And like you said, sir, next race is the granddaddy of them all, Autodromo Nazionale di Monza. Over 70% of that track is deep and full throttle. Let's hope for the sake of Paisan at Parco Monza that Scuderia Ferrari can put some spicy fuel or engineering to make Leclerc grab another home win for them. It's been done before, gladly. Sir, Piastri in at McLaren. We cover under the driver dilemma, and then we'll get your take on it. Last Friday afternoon, CRB, Contract Recognition Board, set up by FIA, made a decision on the winning color and declared Oscar Piastri does not have a valid contract with Sacre Bleu, Alpine for 2023, and he can go to Brown and race for McLaren. The Oxford-based French team had no choice but to do an immediate suck-up and move on with their replacement. They have a variety of choices, from race-winning experience of Ricciardo to one-hit Francais wonder Pierre Gasly, to the high-profile name, if not the performance of a Schumacher, as in Mick. Your take on this ruling, sir? How Piastri will do? Who will go to Alpine?
Well, it's a lot of karma. It looks like Gasly is going to go to Alpine, but a lot of karma is involved in this Piastri thing. I mean, I almost want to say that he Alonso'd the whole thing. Lack of loyalty to Alpine, who has paid for his upbringing and machismo-ness. So fine, you want to go to McLaren? Well, Alpine is going to beat McLaren this season in the Constructors. Fernando is going to Aston Martin. Piastri better get the grips with Ricciardo's old car very quickly. If not, Fernando is going to be right behind in an Aston Martin. And then you're going to have Gasly and Ocon killing it at Alpine. I think Alpine is on the way up. McLaren, you know, Zach Brown, you need to lose a few pounds. The other thing is Piastri going up against Norris, who's been there. He's McLaren. He's adapted. He's part of La Familia. Piastri has bit off a lot, and I hope he can chew it and swallow it all.
Yeah, you know, he has a tremendous pedigree. He won 3 championships, very important and competitive championships in Europe in 3 years. Both Formula 2 and Formula 3 were won in his rookie season. And very few drivers have done that. Even the mighty LCH took 2 years to win in Formula 3. Moving on, we come to backfire from Binotto. Mattia Binotto is not too happy about Nico Rosberg's comment that teams in Formula 2 and 3 make better pit stop than Ferrari, and suggested Binotto should make some personnel changes. The big Swiss cheese at Maranello fired back, saying it is easy to make these comments sitting in front of a TV. We will not make any changes, and this is what you alluded to earlier. They are happy with how things are going, which is very, very sad. But this all sounds like a very happy tune for Max and Red Bull. And if they want to get slaughtered every weekend, one can only wish them good luck. So, shall we take a break and then come back with MM?
Absolutely. And another quick note on Ferrari. I mean, listen, all companies, all, even F1 Weekly, if things are going wrong, we have meetings, we discuss it, and we make changes. Hence, no Steve Faub. There's a reason we don't have Steve Faub. We decided to go with Big O tires. I'm telling you, they are talking in the back. They know they have to make changes because they're here to win championships. And it's a bunch of bullcrap from Ferrari. I think Binotto is out after this season. And I am positive that Montezemolo is furious. Having a beautiful car that's fast and 2 great drivers and to blow it is wrong, wrong, wrong. So after that, why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Guanyu from China, and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Formula 2, Formula 3 were in action at Zandvoort also, so let's get going. The sprint race for Formula 2 on Saturday was won by Kiwi Marcus Armstrong, third win of the season. Marcus used to be in the Ferrari Driver Academy, but looks like the F1 train has left the Maranello station without him. Logan Sargeant from FLA was 8th. He is under the wings of Williams team and hopes are high. He will be one of the next Americans in Formula 1 soon. Sunday's feature race winner was Felipe Drugovich, his 5th win of the season. He is now well on his way to becoming the first Formula 2 champion from Brazil. Sargeant was out on the opening lap. He is still 3rd in the championship with 130 points. French driver Theo Pourchaire is 2nd on 163 points. And Drugovich leads with 233 points. Formula 3, Monty Jr. Sebastian Montoya, who is normally racing in Italian 4, made his debut and finished 8th in Saturday's race 1, which is impressive. Juan Manuel Correa from Miami FLA came in 2nd, his first podium since his horrible crash at Spa in Formula 2 a few years ago, which unfortunately claimed the life of Antoine Hubert. The race was won by Caio Collet from Sao Paulo and managed by Nicola Todd. Second race on Sunday was won by a boy from Barbados, Zane Maloney. He also won the feature race last weekend at Spa. So he's on a hot roll. Jack Crawford, who is known as Jetpack from Texas, he was 6th. And Sebastian Montoya was again 8th in Sunday also. French driver Victor Martin, who finished 2nd, now leads the championship with 126 points. 2nd is French-Algerian racer Isaac Hajar on 121 points. Now we cross the pond and go to Timberland, Portland, Oregon. IndyCars. Penske 1-2 led by Scott McLaughlin over Will Power, in other words, Kiwi over Aussie. Another high-flying Kiwi, Scott Dixon, was 3rd. Championship will be decided this coming weekend in season finale at Laguna Seca, not too far from you, and Mr. Will Power leads the championship. Indy Lights, first win for Benjamin Peterson. He is Danish-American, and this was his first win, like I said, and I think he will be one of the favorites for the championship next season if he continues in this series. Matthew Brabham, son of Jeff Brabham, was 2nd, with championship leader Linus Lundqvist from Sweden 3rd, and this championship will also be decided at Laguna Seca, and it's just a formality. Linus will take it. Now we come to Indy Pro 2000. Louis Foster from jolly old England captured his first championship in the colonies in his rookie season. He did so in style, winning the first of 3 races and finishing 2nd in race 2. Reese Gore came from Miami FLA, hitchhiked across the USA to win the 2nd and 3rd race of the weekend. Congrats and kudos to both kids. Now, sir, I was looking forward to this race on YouTube with much anticipation, a US Formula 2000. You know, we interviewed this kid, Miles Rowe, recently. He is the Penske-supported African-American kid. His family is from Atlanta, Georgia. He came into the season finale with a 25-point lead. Long story short, he did a LCH from Brazil 2007 and lost the championship to Michael D'Orlando. You know, in the first race I was watching this, very few laps remaining, he was running way ahead of Michael D'Orlando in 2nd, and somebody tried to pass him on the inside, and all he had to do was let this guy go. But he held his ground and paid the price. So that was very disappointing. And then in the 2nd race, he ran into the back of a driver, went high up in the air, was able to continue, but damage was done. I hope the journey continues for Miles, as he is a very good racing talent and won many races this season. And the next step for him would be one step up, which would be the Indy Pro Series. Okay, sir, now we come to cost of not paying attention and going legal. The contract recognition board in the Alpine versus McLaren saga has ruled that Alpine is responsible for the legal cost of all parties involved in the case, including McLaren, Piastri himself, and the board members. The team must pay, listen to this, almost £230,000 to McLaren, £120,000, which is about $160,000, I would say, to Piastri, with the arbitrator's fees, lawyer's fees, ranging from £34,000 to £74,000. So pretty expensive day. An additional £16,000 is required to be paid to cover the CRB interest, meaning Alpine is liable for a total of over £530,000 in legal fees, on top of its own cost. Ah, how does that grab you, Mr. Rogers?
It sort of sucks. I mean, they could have just washed their hands and not fight it, but they wanted to fight it, so you got to pay.
Yes. Now, you have seen the news that Porsche and Red Bull are not seeing eye to eye. Christian Horner and Red Bull on Leslie Gore program. It's my party, and Porsche can cry if they want to. One VW brand, Audi, is in, but the other, Porsche, is facing a red-hot steaming bull. The Duke of Discipline from Stuttgart want to take the bull by the horn, but Dr. Marco and his English motorsports field marshal Montgomery, i.e. Christian Horner, have their own idea and agenda. Christian Horner said, and I quote, "Red Bull has always been an independent team. It's been one of our strengths. It's been the backbone of what we've achieved and our ability to move quickly. It's part of the DNA of who we are. We're not a corporately operated organization, and that is one of our strengths in how we operate as a race team. That is an absolute prerequisite for the future." Unquote. Well, Red Bull has bargaining power with a race and championship winning GP2 engine, and they are moving forward with massive financial and people investment in Red Bull powertrains in Milton Keynes, England. I think Honda has three full seasons to make a decision and come back to F1 with full sumo power. Good to have global competition in a global series. I have a feeling that a Porsche deal will go kaput with Red Bull, and they may end up in the back of a McLaren, courtesy of Andreas Seidel, who used to work for Porsche, and that's where he and Piastri's manager Mark Webber became BFF. And as we all know, Audi tried very hard to buy into McLaren, so that did not work out. Moving on to motorsports and two wheels gardening leave, Remy Gardner, who sits 23rd in the standing on nine points, says KTM reasoning for dropping him was because he was not professional, later telling the media that his decision has broken my heart. KTM is an Austrian bike manufacturer, and guess who their main sponsor in MotoGP is? Yes, the machete of Red Bull is ruthless whether you are on two wheels or four wheels. Dr. Marco, the self-appointed Al Davis of motorsports, has a similar philosophy. The racer must go up fast or must go down hard. Kick him in the up, kick him in the down. Okay, sir, shall we move on to Dutch Grand Prix Factoid?
I love a factoid in the morning.
Okay, sir. There are a few countries where the Grand Prix has always been staged at the same location. Netherlands is one of them. Others are Sweden and Monaco. And we're talking about the old legacy races. Even the Swiss Grand Prix has taken place on more than one location. In fact, it was outside Switzerland in 1982 that the Swiss Grand Prix was at Dijon-Prenois. Other one-track pony races are Malaysia, Singapore, Bahrain, Turkey, Morocco, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and Abu Dhabi. Most of them are fairly recent races. Going back to Zandvoort, the Hugenhorst Corner is named after John Hugenhorst, the Dutch engineer who designed the Jarama circuit in Spain near Madrid, and the spectacular Suzuka in Nihon, which was designed as a test track for Honda. And I believe Honda still does some testing there. His son is involved in historic racing and is a regular at Monterey Historics at Laguna Seca. You know, I met his son some years ago at Laguna Seca, and he told me that his dad also designed the Ontario Motor Speedway, which was a high-speed oval in Southern California, and now I think is a shopping mall. And now we're going to look at some maiden wins at Zandvoort. Joe Bonnier, his victory in the 1959 Dutch Grand Prix was the first for a driver from Sweden and for British team BRM. Bonnier lost his life in a 1972 crash at Le Mans. Graham Hill, the one-time captain of the London rowing team, sailed to his maiden win at Zandvoort in 1962, also in a BRM. I saw this car at the Autosport show a few years ago. Beautiful design with upward-facing exhaust pipes and tiny in size compared to F1 machinery these days. Damon's Pepito is one of the few drivers like Jack Brabham and Keke Rosberg who captured their first F1 race win same year as their first world championship in a couple of these cases. 1967 DFV, a $50,000 investment by Ford Motor Company that dominated for decades. The Mike Costin and Keith Duckworth designed engine, hence the name Cosworth, made its debut in the back of a car that was also making its debut on the Dutch seaside track, the Lotus 49. Jim Clark did the rest. James Hunt, champagne and caviar in the pits. Sponsored by what the driver called Good Lord Hesketh, Hunt did the business on a slippery track, beating Niki Lauda in 1975. Speaking of historical wins at Zandvoort, it must be noted that Mario Andretti's victory in the 1978 Dutch Grand Prix remains to this day the last win for an American driver in Formula One. Next, here we come to sadness in the sand, a look at the dark side of racing and tragedies at Zandvoort. Chris Lambert, he was an English driver who in 1968 formed a racing team called London Racing Team with a chap by the name of Max Mosley. Same year, Chris was killed in a Formula 2 race after a collision with Clara Guzzoni. His father later took legal action against the Swiss driver, and of course, Clay would later go on to win the very first Formula 1 race at Long Beach, Cali. Next, Pierce Courage. He was from the wealthy family that owned the Courage Brewery and was loaded with money. He was also good friends with Frank Williams, proving opposites attract. Courage was killed in a fiery crash in 1970, driving a Williams Enter Iso. Roger Williamson. This was the first F1 fatality since I started following F1 in 73. That year, history repeated itself as he suffered the same fate as his fellow Brit 3 years earlier. This sad scene with another British driver, David Purley, trying to help him is available on YouTube. Roger was a very talented driver. His car was entered by Tom Wheatcroft. Some years ago, I had a long chat with Tom at the Autosport show in Birmingham, England, and he said Tom wanted to be everything his father was not. He appreciated his loyalty, saying when other teams were interested in signing him, Roger would tell them, "I drive for Tom, talk to him." Now, Mr. Rogers, I'm not taking any names, but today's drivers are OJs. What they do, they smile in your face. For the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers. Backstabbers, they smile in your face. Finally, famous last words. Now, this will be of interest to you as you are such a passionate fan of Lenes Carr. Normally, we do an F1 factoid. Today we are going deep south, no pun intended, and high class in banking. Now Netflix, now there are other pretenders for Netflix doing the same thing. The USA Network has started a series on NASCAR called Race for the Championship. Okay? Their first episode was last Thursday, and this was one of the things that they mentioned that NASCAR fans learn. Joey Logano is a top NASCAR racer and drives for Roger Penske. When he receives a phone call from his wife, Brittany, the caller ID says, "My hot ass wife." Now we know the origin of boogity, boogity, let's go racing, boys. Back to you, Mr. Rogers.
Wow.
And you know, according to the story I read, it says that he was quoted as saying that when his phone rings and the recording says this, the kids ask, "Is that mommy calling?"
That's Pretty impressive.
I'm just reporting what's published, Mr. Rogers. I don't create content.
M-H-A-W. M-H-A-W is what he should be putting on there so nobody knows it's my hot-ass wife. Okay, Ness, I think you've peaked right now, so congratulations. Good job on the Mondial. Outstanding. Darlington was a bit much to watch, but what can you do?
Yes, sir. And who's going to win Monza, Mr. Rogers?
Well, we know that Fernando is going to get that freak win at Monza.
But he's been getting that every race.
I know, but it's got to happen eventually, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. So with Ferrari bumbling and Max winning, it's really all eyes on LCH. It's all eyes on everybody. Tsunoda, you know, I don't know. What's going on with Tsunoda? You think he faked the whole thing? I love conspiracies.
I know you do, but I don't know. I don't know.
He's a sneaky guy, so yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Monza is going to be awesome, and I have friends that are going. Hopefully they'll pick me up a shirt if they remember, because mine from 2010 is now tattered.
I have an idea. Why don't you ask them to bring you a Ferrari sunglasses?
That is brilliant, Nasser. That is brilliant, and I will do that immediately. So, Nass, an outstanding job. I once again want to thank all the Ferrari fans for just hanging in there. They're going to get better, folks. And who knows, maybe after Aston Martin, Fernando will go back to Ferrari and help them out. But on that note, you know, I want to thank everybody who listens. I want to thank everybody for their hard work, their contributions. I want to thank you, Nasser. I think you're doing a wonderful job with the pit stops, and we'll have a nice talk in the office. So good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.